This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, alhamdulillah, hamdan, yuafi ni'amahu wa yukafi'u mazidah, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman ya kareem. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي رب زدني علما رب زدني علما رب زدني علما. اللهم لا سهل الا ما جعلته سهلا وانت تجعل الحزن اذا شئت سهلا. Welcome everyone to another class on introducing Quran, and today we're looking at Surah Al-Baqarah verse number 174. Could I ask actually some of you or all of you to get a copy of the Quran inshallah so you can follow along, or you can open up in your phones as well. So, verse number 174. Jameel. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَشْتَرُونَ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا أُولَٰئِكَ مَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ إِلَّا النَّارِ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Indeed, those people who hide the things that Allah has revealed, and they purchase a very small price against those things that Allah has revealed, those people are only eating fire within their stomachs. And Allah will not speak to these people. Allah will not purify these people. Allah will not rectify these people. Allah will not cleanse these people. And they will have a very severe torment as well. Now, these people who buy a price for the verses of Allah, for the meanings that Allah has revealed, they're of two categories. One group of people are actually munafiqeen. They are, in fact, people who are hypocrites. Their goal is to internally sabotage and destabilize Islam. This is their goal. So they may be sometimes even scholars of Islam. I mean, apparently speaking, it looks that way. There may be people who apparently be callers to Islam as well, but you can tell from the pattern that every time there's any issue, they're not really calling to what Allah says. They're not calling to what the Prophet ﷺ said. They're calling to their whims and desires, and they're sugarcoating it, or they're putting the paint of Islam and the Quran and the Sunnah on it. Okay? So these people are the munafiqeen. But then there are those people who, under pressure, they end up hiding something that Allah has said. And there are a lot of pressures. And there are a lot of people out there to pay as well. Believe me, if you are in this field, that is the only time you know. And I'll say this just as one example, and I've never actually mentioned this before in my life. But there was one incident specifically where I gave a fatwa when I was living in Malaysia. And it was a fatwa that was very discomforting to people. And I literally had a bank transfer made to my bank account, followed by a call that, Sheikh, we know that you gave this fatwa and we want you to retract your fatwa. And it was a significant amount of money. And I had a moral choice at that point. These people are basically doing exactly what Allah is talking about over here, paying for a person to change what Allah has revealed. I could change it and live a comfortable life. And it was a time, I was a student at that time, I needed the money as well. Or I could just simply return that back. I'm not trying to say, oh, I'm so great that I didn't accept the funds, but I'm explaining that this actually does happen. At the end of it, I ended up basically returning the money back to the same account that it came from. And I refused to change the fatwa that I'd given. But that is a moral choice that you end up going through on a regular basis. Very, very regularly. I remember there was a sheikh from Egypt. He moved here to Canada as an imam of a masjid in Montreal. I met him. He said that the board of the masjid was pressuring me to give a fatwa. And that fatwa I didn't believe was an acceptable fatwa. And they said to me that if you don't give this fatwa, we are going to cancel your visa. We're going to cancel your visa. And they, in fact, eventually ended up canceling his visa as well, But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Shaykh tawfiq to be patient, and he did not change what he believed to be the deen of Allah azza wa jalla. And Allah, he gave him ease after that. A group of brothers within the community, they opened up a masjid, and now that masjid today is one of the most vibrant masajid within Montreal. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. They opened a masjid and they said, Shaykh, you come and teach over here. Say whatever you want. Believe whatever you want, whatever you believe to be truth to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So there are a lot of pressures when you're calling to Allah. People are trying to get you to change what you believe, or what you believe the Quran says. Governments are trying to get you to change. Governments are also willing to put you on paychecks. There are governments, institutions who I know personally have offered institutions within North America millions of dollars. One specific incident, $30 million. But we want you to, we'll give you the money, but this is what we need from you back. Moral choice at that point. You can either refuse or you can accept. A lot of countries that, you know, students of knowledge graduate from, they will give them a stipend. Personally, I was offered at multiple occasions a stipend from the Saudi government. I refused as well, because I didn't want to be under the pressure of any person, so I'm able to say, believe whatever I truly believe. Because it's a moral choice. If you're getting funding from somewhere, you're always going to think that, what are they going to say? What are they going to think? What's going to happen over here? So it's very important that, and then I also ask of every single person, whenever you see a fitna within the ummah, ask where the money is coming from. The Quranism came within the ummah because of funding from dubious sources. Ahmadiyya, they came within the ummah because of funding from dubious sources. A lot of the fitan that we've seen in modern times, they are coming within the ummah for what? From funding from dubious sources. When you start getting down to where the money is coming from, you'll notice that something is up. Because the ummah is generally on goodness. Scholars are generally teaching people what Allah has to say and what the Prophet ﷺ has to say as well. But then there are a group of people who are calling away from this. Ask, where is this funds coming from? How are they surviving? The ummah is not peddling this. They're not trying to push this. The average Muslim is not interested in deviancies and in corruptions, right? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ. Remember, two groups of people. A group who's just afraid and they are sinful for doing so. Another group of people who are actual munafiqeen as well. طيب. They hide whatever Allah has revealed. And there are so many things that are uncomfortable truths within the Quran. Today, if we talk about the story of Lot, it's an uncomfortable story to be talking about in the climate that we're in. But it is a story that needs to be talked about, because this is from the things that Allah Azza wa Jal had revealed. Today, if we talk about many of the verses, and we're going to go over all of them, the whole Quran, inshallah. And I, inshallah, will not sugarcoat anything. I will say whatever I believe to be the truth. وَيَشْتَرُونَ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. And they buy from this, they trade with this, a very small price. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ إِلَّا النَّارِ. They are the people that are eating within their stomachs fire. So all the money that they're earning, all of that is going to be turned into fire on the Day of Judgment. وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهِ. They're so worthless now. They become worthy because they're getting all of these funds. They're becoming wealthy. They're developing their lives in the dunya. People get to know them. They become celebrities and famous. All sorts of things happen. But Allah says they are so worthless to Allah. وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah will not speak to them on the Day of Judgment. وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ. Nor will He pardon them on the Day of Judgment, or raise their mention on the Day of Judgment, or purify them of the evils that they had on the Day of Judgment. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And they're going to have a very, very severe punishment. It's a very big responsibility, especially upon the people of knowledge, to speak the truth. And it is sometimes very difficult. Now, with the conversion therapy ban, as some of you know, if someone from the LGBTQ movement comes to the masjid and they ask an imam, and the imam has to face the situation where they have to tell them, whatever Allah says, it's possible that they may be criminalized for this, right? But what can we do? But I say at the same token, we have to have groups of people who are activists, who are actually continuously pushing for our liberties as well, as Muslims. I mean, really, the situation in Canada has now become so bad that it's even hard to speak about morality from a religious perspective, because you're going to be indicted for it. This is not, you know, in the United States, for instance, it hasn't gotten bad, so sometimes it's even hard for people there, just down south, to understand the situation that we're in completely. But it is really that bad. And until we advocate for our cause, it is extremely crucial to do that. We're not going to have the basic liberty to even express what we believe from a moral sense. All these liberties are going to go. They're not going to stop until they keep on going. Yes, it is a political cycle. Eventually, it's going to come to an end as well, most likely, right? These things, they last for some time and they finish. But as we stand today, it is a very difficult moment, and you people have to get up and advocate for your rights. When we were growing up, everybody knows how homosexuality was viewed. Today, look at how it is viewed. You all know that it was considered a vice and it was considered a slur and it was considered all of those things, that now, if you call it out, you could be criminalized. This is the reality. Who's going to solve that? The mimbar? No. Because when we talk about it on the mimbar, they might take the charity status of the masjid away. It's going to be activists that have to go and deal with this in the same way that people from their community continue to peddle their ideas until we got to what we've gotten to today. Tayyib. Allah continues, and He says that this is a really serious matter. I mean, like, there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, authentic as well, that he said that مَنْ سُئِلَ عَنْ عِلْمٍ فَكَتَمَهُ أَلْجَمَهُ اللَّهُ بِلِجَامٍ مِنَ النَّارِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That whoever is asked of knowledge and he hides that knowledge, then Allah Azza wa Jal will cover him with a rain of made of fire on the Day of Judgment. It's a serious matter. When you know something to be truth, you have to be willing to speak that. There's going to be consequences. There always has been. Always has been. The Prophet ﷺ spoke very uncomfortable truths. And he did it. And he had to face the consequences. And everyone who wants to actually bring the message of the prophets to the people, there is going to be consequences from society, from your relatives, from your people. They'll say, why don't you stop? Sometimes from your own children. Why can't you be like everybody else? People are calling you out. You keep advocating for things that lead to your difficult times for us and our family. All of these things are going to come your way. But when you call to Allah, the reward is just that great. The stakes are very high, but the reward is just that great. And if we look at the early predecessors, they were very keen on speaking whatever they believed to be the truth. One of those examples, not very early, but still from the middle centuries, is Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. This was a man who went to jail once and again and again and again, and he was relentless. He didn't care. He's like, this is what I believe in one issue on talaq, and there was various issues in talaq for which he was contested, but in one issue specifically, they brought his fatwa together in Asham, in front of the Sultan, and the scholars of that time gathered together and they said, this is a wrong fatwa. And he was told to stop giving this fatwa. I'm not advocating the fatwa, but just think about what I'm saying here. They told him, stop. The Sultan banned that fatwa from taking place. He continued to give it. A few months later, they gathered together again and they read that fatwa and they reiterated, you're not allowed to give this fatwa. He gave it again. Then they said, okay, there's no choice, let's jail him. They jailed him. He came back out of jail, he continued to give the fatwa. They jailed him again. He came back out. He continued to give the fatwa. Then, all this time he was writing the fatwa down, it's written till today. He said, okay, if I'm banned from writing, I'll say it verbally. So anyone that would come and ask him, he would verbally give the fatwa. Then they got together and they said that not just from this fatwa are you banned, but you're banned from iftah altogether within Damascus with an Hisham. He said, I'm afraid that if someone asks me a question and I don't speak the truth to them, then I will be among the people who will be fashioned with the reins made of fire by Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment. So this is a serious matter. Something you really know to be truth. Don't think two ways about it. You have to speak it. Again, this is when you are in a situation where you actually know something guaranteed 100% to be the truth. Allah continued and He said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. These are the people that have bought. These are the people who have bartered. These are the people who have traded misguidance for guidance. وَالْعَذَابَ بِالْمَغْفِرَةِ. And they have chosen al-azab, punishment, with maghfirah. They have chosen to accept azab and they have chosen to buy azab with the forgiveness that they had from Allah Azza wa Jal. فَمَا أَصْبَرَهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ. So how capable are these people of being patient upon the fire, or how daring they are to enter the fire? That's one way of looking at it. Another tafsir is, Allah is saying that what is allowing them to be patient upon the fire? See the difference? فَمَا أَصْبَرَهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ. How daring are these people upon the fire, or what is allowing these people to remain patient with the fire? Because when a person chooses dalalah, when a person chooses misguidance over guidance, when a person chooses azab over maghfirah, over forgiveness, punishment and chastisement, over forgiveness and mercy from Allah, how is a person doing that? By hiding what Allah has revealed. So don't you think it's your duty to also deliver the message of Allah Azza wa Jal? Wallahi, if you can't do it through your tongue because you're not sure, or you're not eloquent, or you're not capable, or you're not certain of what you have to say, then take the Quran and give it to the people. This is a very important matter. And if you need a Quran, come to me, I'll give you a Quran, it's for free. You take those Quran and you give them to people, people that are working with you, people that are, you know, your neighbors. Give this Quran to people. This Quran was not meant to be sitting on these bookshelves here. You have to deliver this message. There has to be foot soldiers who are walking the streets and they're giving this Quran out to people. They are calling to Allah through that, through the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. These are the people who have bought the dalalah بِالْهُدَىٰ, with guidance. They have bought, they've chosen to accept and trade in their guidance for misguidance, and trade in the maghfirah and mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal for chastisement and azab. فَمَا أَصْبَرَهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ. Look, what I want to say over here is that you have two situations. You have one situation where a group of people, they are cursed by Allah Azza wa Jal. Who are these people? These are the people who hide information that is within the Quran and within the Sunnah. They don't do humanity a favor by sugarcoating the truth. And I say this, and I know what I'm trying to say here. There are a group of people who will say, well, we're just trying to live with the times. We're trying to make Islam accommodatable for the modern world. There is some truth within that, and we have to do that. But when you start twisting truths that are in the book of Allah, then wallahi, you're not doing favor to people. You're not doing a favor to people, because Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. They are the people who will have the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they will have the curse of the angels, and they will have the curse of humanity altogether. So just as the person who teaches people good, as the Prophet said in the hadith, just as that person is a man for whom the bugs and the ants and the fish within the depths of the ocean make dua and istighfar for, and they seek mercy and forgiveness for this person from Allah, similarly, those people who twist the truth and they don't tell the people what Allah has to say, and they, you know, manipulate the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal to their advantage and to whatever their whims and desires tell them, those people have the la'na of Allah. They have the curse of Allah, and they have the curse of the angels, and they have the curse of people altogether as well. So one group of people, they get dua from everyone within this world, in the heavens and the earth. And from Allah Azza wa Jal, they get their mentioned raised, and these are the people who dare to speak the truth. Because the truth has the capability to actually establish justice within this world. This Quran, it was meant to establish justice within this world. When we convey it as it is, that is when true justice within this world will be established. But then if you twist it, because you think you're wiser than Allah Azza wa Jal, then something else happens. Then the la'na of Allah comes upon you. The la'na of the malaika, the la'na of everyone within this world, because people are, all of the creations of Allah are dying for Allah's word to be established within the world. Not the whims of man, and not the desires of man, and not the way man manipulates the words of Allah. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ نَزَّلَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ. That is because Allah has revealed the Quran with truth. This Quran has truth in it. You don't have to look for truth in the way you imagine truth to be. Don't take the nusus, the passages of Allah, and twist them to your truth and whatever is convenient for you. You know, some people are like, this is my Islam. No. Inna dina inda Allah al-Islam. It is that Allah is the one who has made Islam. It is not your Islam. This is my version of Islam. This is how I get closer to Allah. Right? All of these are traps of Satan, and people are falling within it because they think it's cool. Again and again. You've heard it yourself, right? This is how I practice my Islam, right? Sounds so beautiful and cute, but it's not. It's ugly and malicious and horrible, and it has every evil meaning within it. Because the Quran is the way Allah wishes Islam to be. The Sunnah is the way Allah's Prophet wished the Islam to be. Yes, there are passages within the Quran and Sunnah that are speculative, and there are different ways to understand it, but even that has a spectrum. It doesn't mean you as a regular person are going to decide how to understand the Quran or the Sunnah. The scholars have studied all these things. There is a scope of disagreement which is acceptable. I'm not ever rejecting that. I always advocate that. But I'm trying to say that your Islam is not going to twist the basic guidance within the Quran, and that's what people are doing today, right? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ نَزَّلَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ. That's because Allah has revealed this book, and it has the truth within it. It has no falsehood within it. It has nothing but the truth in it. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْكِتَابِ لَفِي شِقَاقٍ بَعِيدٍ. And as for those people who disagree about what to accept from the Quran, what to accept from their books as well, the previous scriptures, look at what people from the previous nations are doing today. Just take a look. Every single guidance that the Bible has, you have some preacher out there saying it's not applicable anymore. This one doesn't really matter. This one here, it used to be, but we're now in a different time. This one was misunderstood throughout the centuries. They continue to do that. And now we have a group of people who are doing the same for Islam as well. Every guidance. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, he told us, he said, That the Ural Islam, that the knots that are holding together Islam, they will be untied, Urwatan, Urwatan, until one knot at a time, and that's what's happening. Every time you make a concession for these people, they'll come up with something new. Right? So don't even look for excuses for them. I'll tell you one thing. In the past, when I was less experienced, I actually used to look for excuses. I would say, well, you know what? There's an opinion here. There's another one here. But they're not looking for this opinion. Over time, experience taught me that's not what's happening over here. They're not looking for, they don't care about the opinion. They will come up with stuff even if there is no opinion. Because the purpose there is not opinions of scholars, which is accepted or rejected. The purpose there is their desires, and they want to take the Quran and accommodate it to their desires, and not the other way around, accommodate their desires to the Quran. Do you understand? Khalas, there's salah. Now a woman is going to lead prayer. There is masajid now within North America which have women leading not only prayer, But even Jumu'ah khutabs now. Think about it. Where are we going? Have we seen anything like this before? Someone is going to go pull out an opinion and they'll say, oh, X, Y, Z said. Right? Well, they're not going to stop there. It's not going to stop there. Because essentially, okay, all women stand, but then what happens? Well, equality, women are going to stand along with the men. One man, one woman. One man, one, and that's what's happening. No needs for gaps as well. You can touch, you can be touchy and feely in your prayers too. Right? Again, it's not going to stop. Every single concession, they will bring up another one. It's okay to partake in practices that are rituals of other faith. Why? Because tabadul thaqafi. We're just getting to know the different cultures within society. We're just trying to, you know, get to know other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah has made you shu'uban wa qaba'ila lita'arafu. They'll give all sorts of satanic arguments. We've made you into nations and groups so you get to know one another. We're just getting to know their thaqafa. We're just getting to know their culture. What did the people of Quraysh say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They said, O Prophet, they said to him, you worship our God 1 year and we'll worship your God the other year. So you come and check out our faith and I will check out your faith. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. Brothers, you will never be able to keep these people content because they are not trying to follow anything but their desires. Their God has become their desires. This is the reality. Call me what you may, extreme. Call me what you may, harsh. But this is the reality. Let's call a spade a spade. People are following their desires. This is what's happening. They're never going to stop. When they're going to go look in the Quran, and they're doing that already now. In the Quran, arguments for homosexuality. Arguments for promiscuous behavior, zina, from the Quran. Allah literally says in the Quran, يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. There are a lot of people that will be misguided from this Quran, and another group, they'll be guided from the Quran. It's about the desires. When a man or a woman, he's worshipping his desires, then you will find 1,000 explanations for those desires. Any desire you have. You look for the opinion of this guy and the opinion of that guy. And if nothing works, you will look in the Quran and you'll try to twist the words of God to accommodate you. And if that doesn't work, then you'll start contesting the word of God and say, is this even the word of God? This road, when you start going down it, it's going to take you out of the fold of Islam. It's going to take you out into zandaqa. We have to submit to Allah. As Imam al-Tahawi, he says in Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyya, he says, وَلَن تَثْبُتَ قَدَمٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا عَلَى ظَهْرِ التَّسْلِيمِ وَالْإِسْتِسْلَامِ. That there is not a foot that will ever be well grounded in Islam except if you put it on top of submission to Allah. Islam means submit. You have to submit your will, your desires, your nafs to Allah. This is why we have been created. We're Muslimin. We are people who submit to Allah. We don't allow our desires to overcome us. And then we become people who are obedient to their desires. Allah talked about these people in the Quran as well. The people who end up taking up their desires as God. There are people out there who basically are hedonists. And there are people within Islam who are basically hedonists as well. They call themselves Muslims, but their goal is again, their desires of any sort. Sometimes there are desires that lead them to innovation. Sometimes there are desires that lead them to sins. Sometimes there are desires that lead them to anything that is other than what Allah expects of them. But at the end of the day, they are desires. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ. And that's why Allah says that, فَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. That the person, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That the person who fears Allah Azza wa Jal and forbids his nafs of the desires. You want to desire to make your life easier. But by the way, there's desires on both ends as well. Because some people, they're so harsh. because they're trying to be more puritanical than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. The prophetic society was a balanced society. So sometimes people become so religious that they forget that there's a barrier at which the Prophet wants you to stop as well. Those Sahaba that started to pray all night and they wanted to fast all morning and they wanted to fast every day and they didn't want to get married, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? I am a person who fasts and I break my fast. I pray and I go to sleep and I also get married as well. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever goes away from my sunnah, that person is not from us. So some people, they go overboard even within religiosity, and that is also a desire, by the way. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you go overboard in your haram, everything is illegal, everything is haram, and this is, we're closing the door to this, and we're, all of that is also from desires. And it's very hard to be balanced, where you're going to have that prophetic balance. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed something, allow the people to have that liberty as well. Right? Allow the people. I gave you an example in the khutbah today. Two people, they came, the woman that came to the Prophet ﷺ with her guardians, she was in love with this man. The Prophet didn't say, love before marriage, haram. He said, two people, they love each other, get them married. Khalas, it's done. There was Mughith and Barira in front of the Prophet after the divorce. Mughith is chasing after her and he's saying, I want you, I want you, I want you. The Prophet doesn't say, well, Aib, why are you talking to this woman? Right? He's convincing her. He's not harming her in any way. He's not touching her. But he loves her. He wants to convince her that let's get back together. Let's get in a marriage again. The Prophet ﷺ never said, don't do it. He actually looked at them and he looked at Abu Huraira and he said, aren't you shocked at the way Mughith loves Barira and Barira hates Mughith? Right? This was the comment of the Prophet ﷺ. Don't make things more complicated. There was incidents where, again, just examples of marriage are coming in my head, but there are so many other examples as well. There's incidents in which some of the tabi'een, they would literally go to a woman and they would tell her that I like you. Nowadays, haram. Why haram, ya akhi? Who gave you the right to say something is haram? I'm not saying start living or being by yourself in privacy. I'm not saying start having private boyfriends and girlfriends. That's not what we're talking about here. But when you're conveying to the opposite gender that you like them, is there a problem with that? No. But you have to now, after that, when you're done that, give me the number of your daddy. Let's get the, if you're interested as well. Right? So let's not complicate things of Islam more than they have been set by the Prophet. Don't set the bar too high. But let's not start completely destructing Islam by taking one ritual and one practice and one boundary of Allah apart after another. Allah continues and he says, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. Allah says that it's not piety that you face towards the east or the west, because a group from the Jews, they used to face east, and the Christians, they would face the other direction. So Christians would face one way and the Jews would face another way. So Allah is saying, you're not going to attain piety by facing this direction or that direction, right? And remember, the Prophet ﷺ, he started facing towards the Kaaba at odds with the people of the book, because he's obviously facing south from Medina, right? لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Birr, righteousness, piety is not in you facing east or west. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنْ. True piety is in your belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. And you believing in the hereafter as well. You believing in the angels of Allah. You believing in the book and the books of Allah Azza wa Jal. You believing in the prophets of God and not rejecting some of the prophets and believing in others. And that you give money despite the fact that you love that money. You have love for money. We all have love for money. This is one of the shahawat, one of the desires Allah has created within man. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَىٰ And he gives wealth despite the fact that he loves it. But to who? He gives it to his family. He gives it to his close relatives. Notice, when Allah talks about giving, there's two things. He gives it when he loves it. Meaning he gives it from the things he loves. He doesn't just give it from a little bit of the wealth that's just sitting around in the corner. He needs not. He gives it from the wealth that he loves. And he gives it to his family members first and foremost. This is the hardest because, you know, with your family members, you have had feuds, you've had fights, you've had all sorts of conflicts, and you have had difficulties, and they have cursed you, and they have said slurs to you, and they have been mean to you, and they have neglected you, and they have not given to you in your times of need. With all those factors, your heart says, these guys, I will never give them. But Allah starts and He says, ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى He gives it to His family members. That's the hardest person to give to. Notice how many people in the world who are very wealthy, if you ask them for money, they raise their hands and they say, I'll give. But you look around in their family, there are a lot of poor people, they're not giving to them. Right? Because that is very difficult, but Allah starts with the qurba. He starts with the family unit. The problem is that we have destructed the family unit. The family unit is very, very important. Whether it be from the marital angle, one of the ways that you bring people together in marriage is that you bring a person from one family and a person from another because Allah wants the families to be involved. One of the ways you keep society running and from falling is that the people within the family, they share their wealth. You have a poor person in your family, help them. You have a young man in your family who needs to get married. If you've got thousands of dollars sitting around, it won't harm you. You give 5,000 to this young man. It won't harm you. He will love you more. وَمَنْ يَكُوْ ذَا فَضْلٍ فَيَبْخَلْ بِفَضْلِهِ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ يُسْتَغْنَ عَنْهُ وَيُذْمَمِ As Zuhair, he says, that whoever happens to be a person of financial capacity and capability, whoever has that ability to give, but then he's very stingy with his own family and his own kith and kin and his people, then one day or another people will completely forget this man and they'll find someone else to look up to. You don't become a leader by becoming stingy and by gluttony. You will do that only by giving. Giving is what makes the hearts of the people come to you. Giving is what also gives you from Allah Azza wa Jal. But within even this worldly measures, the only way you can gain leadership within society in every which way is if you give. Sometimes it's money that you're giving. Sometimes it's knowledge that you're giving. Sometimes it's aid that you're giving. You have to give. You have to give to get. That's actually one of the principles that they have. Any self-help book that you read on trying to develop your wealth, they'll say give to get, which is the concept that we have in Islam as well. Anfiq yunfaq alayk. Yabna Adam, O child of Adam, give and Allah will give you more. You have to give. That's how you get from society in every which way, not just money. So give to your family. Start with them. Don't neglect your families. Wallahi ya akhwani. Don't forget them. It's the hardest person to give your money to, but give them. It's the hardest person to aid and help, but help them. There's no ROI. There's no return on investment, but Allah has that return for you. وَالْيَتَامَى And give to the orphans as well. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ And give to the poor people. Allah, notice, you'd imagine that the poor people are going to be first on the list, right? Because we all assume that the needy are the poor ones. But then we forget there's also needy within the family as well. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ And also the masakeen. Here I just want to introduce a concept. And they call this a takaful al-ijtima'i. Okay? And that is that you get together as a family and you develop a small trust to keep everybody afloat. Every single person within your larger family, one day or another, is going to have a rainy day. 100%. And there's always going to be that one person who's got the upper hand in terms of finance in the family, right? And then everybody's looking to that person. He's the only millionaire uncle you have, right? So everybody's looking to that guy. And we don't want to burden people within society as well. Yes, if someone has, they give alhamdulillah. But the way we can solve this is if the family gets together and they develop a fund where everybody is contributing all the time. And the moment someone falls, that fund is all charity for that person. You have 3, 4, 7 brothers, everybody pitches in $200 a month. It's not like every month someone's going to be falling, right? Everybody's doing okay. It's not like every month someone is going to be falling. You have 5 brothers and sisters who can pitch that in. Every single month, you're committing $1,000 to that fund. Over 10 months, you'll have 10,000. Over 12 months, you'll have 12,000. The month that someone falls, you already have secured as a family a system to be able to keep your kith and kin afloat. This is a system that is practiced in Saudi Arabia by a number of families. I know this personally from those big, large tribal families. They get together, and maybe not everyone is pitching in, but those who are capable, they're all putting towards a fund. And this keeps people afloat, and we can practice that within our societies as well, where we take our families, we get them together, and we start a fund, and everybody goes afloat like this, inshaAllah ta'ala. This is a suggestion, it's very practical. But it requires people to at least have, willing to have a conversation. It needs that level of familial ties that you're willing to have that conversation, right? والمساكين وابن السبيل. And also those people who are traveling. Oftentimes we forget that even travelers can be, you know, given sadaqah, and they can be given zakat as well. Because someone is traveling, they're having to incur expenses and costs, and maybe they're stuck away from their wealth and their money. Lots of things can happen. Maybe they're out of work. When COVID happened, so many people were stuck in so many places in the world, and they needed a lot of support. وابن السبيل. Maybe another time we'll live to see a similar day where people get stuck in different places within the world and they're needy, not because they're poor or incapable, but because the situation happens to be such. وابن السبيل. والسائلين. And then comes a group of people who are asking. Allah delays these people. Why? Because they're already getting there right. They're willing to go out and ask people. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are those people who are too shy to ask. تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَهُمْ لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافًا. That you know them through their signs. They don't go around asking people. So there's a group of people who are poor, but they don't ask. So Allah prefers them in the order. But then there's a group of people who ask. So Allah puts them later because they're already getting a lot from their questioning. When you go out around asking, eventually there will be someone who will provide. وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. And also those people who are slaves and they need to be freed. And some people, they say this could be those people who are in debt as well. Okay? Those people who have need. And even those people who are indebted, they are needy people. Give to people who have debts. Help people get out of debts. Help people who are under credit card debts. Of course, teach them good habits at the end of it as well. People who have student loans, help them. People who have other types of loans, help them. These are people who are needy human beings, especially those who have student loans. Help these students because they're going to be contributors to society. The faster you can get them out of the riq, the ubudiyya, the slavery of debt, the more they're going to be able to contribute to society, emancipate these people. Help them get out of debt. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ. And now Allah goes to the obligations. And that person, he also, so Allah talked about all of the articles of faith. And then he talked about one thing that is telling of faith, which is giving to people. The Prophet said in the hadith, الصَّدَقَةُ بُرْهَانٌ. He said that giving charity is a sign of faith. So the Prophet, Allah talked about the articles of faith. True piety is in that you believe in Allah, you believe in the hereafter, you believe in the angels, and you believe in the book of Allah, you believe in the prophets of God, and then you bring the proof of that belief as well. You give for Allah. Because giving charity is a proof, as the Prophet said, for your belief. So then you bring the proof of your belief as well. You give to people. And then you bring all of the other obligations of your religion, of Islam, the tenets, the pillars of Islam. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ. And he establishes the prayer. وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ, and he gives the zakat. So all of those people who are giving before, Allah is not talking about zakat over there. That's just charity. Now there's another form of giving, and that is the obligatory charity. وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ, and zakat, it comes from the word zakah, yazku, and that word has two meanings. Number one, it has the meaning of purity. So every time you give for Allah, Allah purifies your heart, and Allah purifies your wealth. And it also has the meaning of increase as well. So every time you give your zakat, Allah increases your wealth. And this is tried and tested. Try it for yourself. If Allah has given you money, give zakat, Allah will increase that money. وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا, and those people who fulfill their oaths whenever they take an oath. Sometimes it's very difficult to fulfill your oaths and your promises and the things that you've committed yourself to. There's appointments you have. There's people you've promised favors to. There's people you've promised money to. There's lots of promises to your relatives, to your wives, to your children, to your husbands. It's difficult. But the people who are people of piety, the people who are people of genuine goodness within this world, they're always out looking out for their promises, the small ones, the big ones. They remember them. وَلَوْ بَعْدَحِينَ, even if it's after time, they'll remember it. After much time, they will recall that they had a promise and they need to fulfill it and they need to go back to it, and they do fulfill it. وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, and then those people, all of this is birr. All of this is righteousness and piety. And those people who are patient as well. So now the qada of Allah comes. The decree of Allah comes, they know how to react. Some people lose their composure, they lose the way Allah expects them to behave, they lose the way Muslims are supposed to behave, they lose their minds, sometimes even lose their faith. Why? Because it's too hard, it's too difficult. Why is Allah doing this to me? Why me? Allah says, وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَى. They are people who are patient, not when everything is over. That's a sham way of being patient. It's not a real way of being patient. That's an unreal way of being patient. You know, you've all seen those examples, right? Someone wails and cries and smacks themselves and smacks everybody around them, and they throw a tantrum when the problem takes place, and then after they compose themselves and they say, Wallahi, Allah is testing me, I'll be patient. No, brother, you're not patient. Khalas, you lost all your patience. Because the patience is supposed to be fil ba'sa'i wa dharra. It's supposed to be at the moment of difficulty. It's supposed to be at the moment when you're going through that poverty. Your husband is not able to provide for 1 month and he's been doing for so many years. Ya ukhti, be patient. Look at him. He's been working all of his life. His hair is going gray. Trying to provide for you. He's doing 12s. He's doing fly in, fly out. Who is he doing that for you? The 1 month where he loses his job, you lose your faith within him? Where's the patience? Where is it? There are no patience. I was patient all my life with you, and now this is what you do to me. No. You were not patient. You were getting everything you wanted. Because now is the time to be patient. وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ. The people who are patient in poverty. One brother I know, and I don't think he'll mind me sharing the story of his. I was the person who helped him get married. I'm not saying this as a favor upon him, but I helped him get married. I know the sister, I know him. The sister was living through immense poverty. She could not provide for herself. She could not provide for her daughter. This man was a student at the time. He already had a family. And he took this woman. And he said, I will look after you. I said, Akhi, do you really think you'll look after her? And you're still a student and you already have a family. He said, no, wallahi, I'll do anything in my powers to look after this woman. He had no other intention except to make the life of this woman easy. He didn't even live with her. He looked after her for years. For years and years, he bought her an apartment. Not rented her an apartment, he bought her an apartment. He took her out from the projects and he brought her into a civilized neighborhood within her society. 7 years went by to that marriage. He looked after her daughters throughout that entire period. These are not people he has to look after. Yes, when you get married, you have to look after your wife, but not the daughters of the wife. They're not your responsibility. The father has to pay for them. He has to look after them. In fact, it's even a favor that he's doing to her to let go of his rights to be alone with his wife. Rather, he says, your daughters can live with us as well. No problem. 7 years later, this man, he had one hard month. One hard month. She said, I'm filing for divorce. You don't look after me. Is this kufrun na'im or is it not? I've been patient all these years. Where is the patient, ya ukhti? He took you from poverty. I know where you lived. I know where you were. I remember the day at 12 o'clock at night, I sat with both of them in a restaurant and they could not even communicate with one another. I mediated because they had a language barrier. And she had not even enough money to be able to take public transport. He took her from that, took her out of there, paid for the education of the children. He bought her a house, apartment in her name. 7 years later, this is the kufr that he sees. This is the ungratefulness he sees. This is not patience. You're not being patient. This is not, don't lie to yourself. Tell that story to someone else. Allah says, وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَىٰ. Those people who are patient at the moment of the ba's. What's ba'sa? At the moment of the poverty, not at the moment of richness, when you're all wealthy and everything is okay for you and you're getting all the foods you need and everything is all right. That's not the time to be patient. That's the time to enjoy life and be grateful to Allah. Some people, they have health all of their lives and they have one moment of sickness and they start to question their own faith and why is Allah doing this to me? Where were you for 27 years, my brothers, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you health? When Allah gave you the ability to walk and the ability to talk and the moment that you were not able to, you said, why is Allah doing this to me? What type of ungratefulness is that? And then you say, I was patient all that time. No. Patience is going to be at the moment of poverty. Patience is going to be at the moment of difficulty. Patience is going to be at the moment of a dharra, when the hardship comes, when the sickness comes. Patience is going to be وحين الباس. And also at the moment of calamity, at the moment of battle and war. أولئك الذين صدقوا. These are the people who are true. Others are just lying. They're pretending. Do you see the lie? Others are just lying. You can lie to yourself all you want. You're not patient. Patience will happen when you are going through difficult times. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. And those are the people who are truly God conscious of Allah. This ayah summarizes how to be God conscious. And Allah says, those are the people هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. They are the ones who are truly the ones who have taqwa. This dhamir is called dhamir al-fasl. And they bring this particular pronoun to emphasize that these and none other than these. If you want to know how to be a person of taqwa, this ayah is telling you how to be a person of taqwa. A person who believes in Allah, in the hereafter, in the messengers of God, in all of the articles of faith. A person who gives, which is the evidence of your faith. A person who establishes all of the pillars of your religion as well. And then, that person, when the calamity of Allah comes, he's patient throughout. These are the people who are actually truthful to Allah and the covenants that they have with Allah. And these are the people who have taqwa. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the people of taqwa. Ameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.